Welcome to Abound in Hope, a podcast from Imprint Church. Our goal is to help you apply the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyday life. Well, hey, welcome back to Abound in Hope. My name is Rex Gorman. I'm sitting here with
Suzanne Hagelin.
And
I'm Darren Larson.
Yeah, and it's a pleasure to be back in the studio with these two. I felt like I was going to say something witty there, but it's not happening.
You dropped it.
It's okay. I dropped
the ball.
I don't feel as special now.
Darren, you know what? When you're here, of all the people that I know, you're one of them.
Now I feel special.
There you go. Wow.
If you've...
What about me?
It's a good thing you didn't say anything about you, maybe.
I know, right?
Oh, man. And actually, I will say, I feel like as we're recording podcasts, Darren, when the whole staff is around and we're doing like huddles or whatever, Darren kind of has like a dad mode thing.
Oh, nice.
And
maybe.
Here, you're less like a dad. You're more like a cool uncle.
Oh, nice.
You know, does that make sense? Not totally. Not Uncle Rico, but an actually cool uncle who's like, yeah, never mind. Anyway, I don't know where I'm going with this.
I like that.
This is a weird start to this podcast. I might leave this part out. Anyway, we're excited to be back. We've been talking through what we call the eight signs, the eight words of church of health at Imprint Church over the past few weeks. If you want to know more about kind of the origin of those, where those came from, why we choose to define health the way that we do, you can go back to the very first episode in this series, which was the Jesus episode, and we kind of go back more into the history of it and the thought behind it. But today we're going to talk about prayer. And for that, we brought in the prayer lead, Suzanne Hagelin, because she's the prayer expert.
I doubt that.
Yeah. Well, Darren said I was the worship expert. I said he was the expert on
That's
everything.
Right. I remember,
we did all
there
this.
You
go. So, we actually did a podcast on prayer not very long ago, similar to the way we did a podcast on the Bible not very long ago. And then we did another one here on this as a vital sign. So if you want to hear more about what prayer is as a whole and kind of more a broader picture of it, kind of a deeper dive, you can go back and find that podcast as well. But today we want to talk about why prayer is a sign of church health. So I'll lob the same question we've been doing here. Why did we pick prayer as one of the eight signs of church health? Why is it important? Why is it a sign of health for a church?
Well, if I could back up a little bit and just talk about...
Yeah, sounds good.
Prayer for a believer. I mean, I like to think of it as... it's an essential form of communication that it comes as naturally as breathing does. But it doesn't mean that if we're just breathing in someone's presence that they understand what we want.
Mm-hmm.
So when we have a child, our desire is that a child would be able to grow in speech and in understanding speech and in communicating in some fashion. And that develops the child, it develops the relationships with the parents and with others, and understanding. There's something about being able to communicate what's inside of you and see responses or hear responses that actually develop understanding. And I think prayer is like that, that from God's perspective, as we are learning to pray to Him, learning to listen to His word and just the work that He's doing in our lives, as well as praying with others and listening and watching how the Lord helps them to pray and answers their prayers, this develops aspects in us that would not develop any other way that are valuable. And so I think it's not only a sign of church health, but it's an essential part of being a believer.
Totally. I couldn't agree more. I think, you know, prayer is at its basis, at its most primal sort of definition, it's communication with God. You know, it's crying out to God. It's something that's been, you know, happening for a long time. We hear from the early chapters of Genesis that people called upon the name of the Lord. And they did that because they wanted God to meet them, to keep promises that were made, to show up in a time of need. So it definitely, it's like the basest instinct, I would say, even past for a believer. There's almost this idea for it being for, we talked about this a little bit in our other podcast about prayer, but just for human beings, calling out to something that's above where we are right now, something that's above whether it's a problem or a frustration or whatever. The idea that there's a transcendent being out there is kind of supported by, you know, all the polls that say how many people pray. And it's always like way more people pray than actually believe in God. If you look at the self-reporting polls, that kind of thing, even in times of most desperation, it's almost this instinct where it's like, I need to call out to someone. So I completely agree. I think prayer is a fundamental thing. And in prayer that's directed toward the God of who's been revealed to us through Scripture and through Christ is so important. I think to kind of zoom in, sorry, Darren, did you want to add something?
I was just going to add one more thought. I think with the nature of a God who wants to communicate, he also wants to create people in his image who want to communicate with him, right? And so there's an act of communication. The whole Bible starts out with God communicating, like he speaks, let there be light, right? And that act of communication is the act that created something. I think sometimes people think, let there be light, and then God created light. It was actually the words that created the light, right? Yeah. It wasn't just he didn't say the words and then create the light. It was the actual words did it. And I think that's a beautiful thought for us to go into, knowing that God wanted to communicate. He wants us to communicate with him. And so there's reciprocity in our relationship with God that we are called to as his kids, to use your image, Suzanne, when we're born into this family. Like, he's trying to communicate. We're trying to communicate. We're trying to create a community that thrives on communication of a God who wants to reveal himself through that. So I think that's foundationally what you're looking at, Rex, is that God has things to say to us, and he has a way for us to do things, and he has a way for us to know him, and he has a way for us to be obedient to him. And that is through communication, through prayer, through conversation, through Bible reading, through all of those things. Yeah. It's interesting how prayer like almost becomes like the roots of a tree that branch out into all these other other things about of the church life.
Yeah, no, I think they all kind of cascade over each other, that sort of thing. So I guess back to, sort of the question that I asked earlier, church health, like why we if we're agreeing on these things that we've just said and other stuff that we said in the last prayer podcast, why is it appropriate to measure church health via prayer? I guess, how do you do that first? And then like, what is it? Why is that a good measure of health?
We use the term we first got going around imprint of prayerful dependence, and that has been a consistent term. Again, from the very first podcast we started using, going through these eight words, I had mentioned to you the birth of these ideas of health came with lots like larger
little phrases
and stuff. Yeah. And we decided at some point, I think through Tom Regan's influence, to break them down
into kind of
words.
Down.
Yeah. And so prayer became the thing. But we use prayerful dependence around Imprint Church. And I think that's an important thing to think about when we think of a church health word, that we as a church live in prayerful dependence. So like we define this on our website as human bodies are powerless without food to fuel them. We are powerless to faithfully follow Jesus apart from the empowerment of his spirit. Because of this, we are to live in prayerful dependence. So we use that phrase there again. But I think going to your question, Rex, like we have to understand that we are empowered as a church, not because we gather necessarily, not because, I mean, there's part of that as well, but not because we have liturgy that we do, not because we have a lot of money when we get together, not because we can do really cool things when we're together. The power of us gathering together is in the name of Jesus, who's with us, who's walking with us, and who ultimately empowers us to do the things that he's called us to do. The church is a supernatural work. Like we can't do anything without the power of the Spirit. That's John 15, right? Like we can't do anything without the work of God on our behalf. And so the church shows up with anticipation that God's going to be there and trusting that he's going to empower the things he's called us to do. So I think that's why we live in prayerful dependence, or we use the foundational word prayer. Yeah. Sorry, Suzanne, what do you think?
Yeah, no, that was great.
Thanks. I just made it up.
Wow.
No notes.
No, I think if I were like just visiting Imprint for the first time and looking to see if there's prayer aspects, it's kind of an indication to me of how comfortable people are with their identity as children of God.
Yeah, that's good.
So if people have that concept and they're not praying, it makes me wonder, you know, is this a social club or is this...
Where do you get that from, kind of thing? Yeah.
I mean, the early church, it says that they were all completely... They were continually united in prayer in Acts 1:14. Paul speaks of praying all the time,
yeah,
or pray without ceasing, mm-hmm, in First Thessalonians 5.
Yeah.
Yep. In Ephesians 6:18, it says, pray at all times in the Spirit. You mentioned that. Mm-hmm. With every prayer and request, and stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints.
Yeah.
It's like the standard in the scriptures it's just an expectation,
yeah,
that prayer is the life that we lead.
Yeah.
So if there isn't a lot of prayer happening, or if it's not something that is just assumed that, you know what I mean? If it's, yeah, not a part of our behavior as Christians, then that would be an indication of some concern for health.
I totally appreciated a few years ago how we started adding, a couple years ago, I guess, we started adding a prayer time by a person in our congregation before, yeah, our scripture reading, mm-hmm, because it's exemplifying what you're talking about, Suzanne,
exactly,
this idea of like, no, we come to the Lord in prayer, and we as a community come to the Lord in prayer.
Well, I remember specifically, that was the beginning of 2020. Of 2020.
Okay.
And we had decided,
you know, a couple years ago, but everything's a couple years ago.
It's true. It was a couple years ago. It was a couple years ago, and it was 8,000 years ago at the same time. I remember specifically because the elders went on a retreat in January,
yeah,
and
right,
you guys had said that you felt like we needed to embody prayerful dependence.
That's right.
More. That was the thing. That was kind of the bell we were going to ring. And
that's right.
Prayer so normal.
We did. We were going to pray.
We said
prayer.
Make prayer normal.
That's what
we said. It was make prayer, yeah, more
that's
normal.
That's fantastic. What
I know,
a great
the
memory.
The prayer team were like, wait, what do they mean?
You're like, it's already normal.
Yeah, exactly.
That is normal.
This does not compute.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I remember that specifically. And that was a super compelling vision. And you guys came back. We talked about that. We shared that at the family meeting.
Yeah.
I remember that. And it was like, yeah, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do this. And so we started doing that. And then COVID happened.
Yep.
And we were like, oh, wow. And it turns out we really needed to make prayer normal,
yeah,
at that moment. So we kind of flexed some ways to do that with prayer meetings.
That's
and
right.
With other things. And we continued that, you know, when we were able to kind of go back to some semblance of normal. But it has been cool. I feel like prayer is a bigger pillar in our gatherings than it was when I first got to
ministry.
Not that it wasn't a thing. It's just there's dedicated space given to prayer. It's less, mm-hmm, oftentimes in worship gatherings, unfortunately, prayer is used as a transitional element and not much else.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like, you know, we're going to close our eyes, and then when you open your eyes, the band is back. And how did they get there?
Yeah.
It's that sort of thing. so I think we kind of took prayer out of that category of just a transitional element, and we tried to make it a more of a pillar of its own, less of a thing that's just going to be sprinkled on top as sort of sacramental pixie dust, if we want to use that phrase in order to make that happen.
I like that. I think it's a beautiful part of making prayer normal or showing it from up front. Or Suzanne, you said if you visit a church, you'd hope you'd see examples of prayer. So mm-hmm, yeah, to Rex's point, I think for years and years, it was prayer closeted, if you will, or it was like prayer response in the back, mm-hmm, which didn't get a lot of customers.
But prayer.
There was prayer happening. Yeah.
But it is definitely more visible now, and the fact that every week it's a different person leading
so
a prayer, that just it shows that, mm-hmm, our goal, we consider everyone part of the prayer team, basically.
Totally. Yeah, I have been struck, like it's right before I preach a sermon, unfortunately, because, and I say that funny, but I listen to someone's prayer and I want to sit there and ponder it for, mm-hmm, a second.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm struck by it. Like even emotionally, I've been caught off guard before where someone's prayed something. I'm like, I got to pull it together to get on stage and preach a sermon here. But they prayed something emotional that shows our prayerful dependence or our sign of health prayer as being foundational for us. Yeah.
So we're saying this is a sign of church health because it's like, again, if we're not doing this, then what we're doing is all, basically we're not dependent on anything. We're thinking we've got this, we got it covered, we can take care of what's going on. And again, good things can happen.
Yeah.
I hesitate to say that. Good things can happen. Like an organization, mm-hmm, like leaving church out of it, can function and accomplish quote unquote good within a community without prayer being a thing. But I think,
unfortunately, yeah,
yes. But yeah. I think dependence, prayerful dependence, mm-hmm, is a way of kind of keeping our compass magnetized north, mm-hmm, first of all. Also, it's going to lead us into things that we might not feel comfortable doing on our, mm-hmm, own. Whereas if it's all just, hey, we're going to make this happen, it's like, well, let's lean into our strengths. Let's get stuff going. I think even
our methods, our ideas,
yes,
our agenda,
yes,
our, Lord, we're presenting to you what we're going to do.
Exactly.
And we want you to back us
up. Please bless
us. Because that's what, bless us.
Mm-hmm.
And Yeah, no, there comes a point where we are just aren't recognizing our need for him anymore.
Absolutely.
Especially if we're successful.
Yeah.
And all of these things that we're doing just look so good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think that there's it's a path that leads to basically a need for repentance, because there comes a point where we're no longer, we're holding to a form of godliness, like it says in 2 Timothy 3,
yep.
but denying its power.
Yes.
So it might look good because we have that shell of, you know, social club church, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, even if the gospel is being preached and we say people are being saved.
Yeah.
But if we're relying on human strength and human ideas, we are, it's hollow. We're missing the core.
Totally.
And Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing.
I'd say say it's hollow. I'd say it's also, it's fragile. As well,
because
I think
at
a certain point it becomes dependent on personality or the will of a leader or a group of leaders to push in a certain direction and keep going and stay energized and stay on top of it. Whereas I think being dependent on the Lord in prayer and a leadership team or whatever that's dependent on the Lord in prayer, they're going to do some things that seem weird and counterintuitive. First of all, they're going to be led into waters that they're uncomfortable with. They're not just going to lean into their strengths. Like I think I said something like that a minute ago, but also I think that, again, if we are trying to keep in step with the Spirit, that means paying attention to what God would have us do and asking him to speak into what's going on, so that we're not just choosing comfort and what we would think of as like up into the right kind of growth. But we're choosing, no, we want to stay dependent here. We want to keep a listening ear to what's going on. I think of in this moment, and Gideon's not really a good example of a guy to follow, but like, I think of the story of Gideon in a way where it's like, you know, again, there's that, he's getting an army to keep, who was it at that point? Was it the Philistines?
Sorry.
The Midianites. That's right. The Midianites.
It is the Midianites.
It is
good
Midianites,
call.
Yeah. The Midianites.
I was like, no, but I can't remember who it is. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the Midianites, and you know, God keeps telling him, no, we need fewer. No, we need fewer. No, we need to shrink. And again, take this all with a grain of salt. He's not a great example overall, but I do think there's something compelling about that where it's like, no, the Lord is going to work in his ways, not necessarily thinking, hey, we're going to make this plan and we're just going to drop our shoulders and make it happen. And I think, if you are not a church or a group of people that is focused on the Lord in prayer and seeking the Lord in prayerful dependence, you run into a risk of, again, trying to work things out according to your own strength.
Or also trying to make something continue that began as God led,
that is so
God
true,
inspired,
man.
And people really engaged, and the Lord just using that for good. And then the pressure that comes sometimes to keep it going. It's like, this is going really well. We're getting good fruit from this. We've got to make it happen. And then there's the idea that, I don't know if you guys have ever seen this, where there's actually people that will get disgruntled and maybe even a little critical, like, you guys dropped the ball. Mm. What happened with this?
Mm. Yeah.
But that's actually sometimes what God does.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes he's blessing something for a while, and then he says, the pillar of cloud and fire is moving.
Yeah. Well, maybe that gives a reason to keep praying, keep listening to the Lord. And if my kind of preconceived idea about the Lord wanting to communicate is really there, we have to be listening to say, what are you doing next, Lord? That's the compelling picture. While you were speaking of Gideon, I was reminded of the early church, Rex. And like, I was trying to remember exact story. It's in Acts 4. Where the ground is shaking, they pray for boldness. You remember this whole thing, there's persecution, Peter and John get thrown in prison, and they're praying for boldness, there's persecution happening, this whole thing. And then if you remember right, it says like they prayed for boldness, and then the place that they were saying was shaken, and like the Lord showed up in a really cool way, and then the church starts to share all things in common again in Acts chapter 4. And it just reminds me of the empowerment, the work of the Spirit, the work of the Lord, like the supernatural power. You'd mentioned that thing that Suzanne earlier, and I just think that becomes such a part of the church normal. Like we just kind of do things at a earthly kind of on a physical level, and we can do our best laid plans, and we can make things look pretty, and we can do all the things to get through the service. But when the Lord shows up, the ground starts to shake, and things actually start to happen, you know. And so I think that's the picture of what I want to see happen in the context of the church for prayerful dependence. Like that's desire.
A really cool picture.
That is a cool picture.
It's an Acts picture, right?
Yeah. So that's what happens if this is ignored. If we ignore this, it's sort of like we got original orders and then we are given. This is a really crude example. It's almost like we get original orders from God, and then he gives us a walkie-talkie. It's like, hey, check in if you need help. And we're like, okay, we just run and leave the walkie-talkie there. It's like we're leaving a lot on the table if we choose not to pray, or if we are too distracted to pray, or are too busy to pray, or whatever we want to say.
Totally.
Grieve his heart.
But yeah, it grieves his heart as well. So how do we not do that? How do churches lean into this aspect of health? How do churches help foster prayerful dependence?
Well, I have a couple thoughts here. I think making prayer a normal activity, that's just a part of our church behavior, is it's not as hard as it sounds, and it doesn't have to be just one way. Like we talked about the corporate prayer up front. And just the idea that people pray with each other, modeling that and assuming that and offering to pray for someone as soon as you hear about a problem. Yeah. Not that everyone has to do those things, but that the church would be a place where that's considered normal. It's not like if I say, oh, can I pray for you right now, that someone's going to look at me like,
what is happening?
What are you? Back off. Then we can teach on prayer, and we can provide tools that help and encourage people in prayer. And I think crucially, we should be willing to ask for prayer, which involves making ourselves vulnerable.
That's great.
And then willing to pray for someone else, praying for others.
I love what you said, Suzanne, the idea of being willing to pray for... I've seen you exemplify this in our church at times when I'll share something with you. You're like, can I pray for you right now? I'm like, well, yes, you can. And I appreciate that so much. I think at some point people come to church with the consumer mindset, like the pastor or the leader has to pray for me for it to be really valid, you know?
But what if we could... What a burden for you.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, my prayers are no more powerful than Suzanne's. In fact, they're less... less powerful than Suzanne's.
I deny that.
But what I'm saying is, like, what if we could create the culture instead of going to say, like, I need the pastor to pray for me, I can look at my neighbor in the chair next to me and ask for a prayer and be vulnerable there and be willing to be prayed for. And like, what if the auditorium at Imprint Church Bothell and Imprint Church Woodinville after our gatherings becomes a place where people are praying for one another and where it looks normal for like we walk out of there because we have lobbies now that we can go to. And we know that in this space is like holy ground because people are praying and people are meeting Jesus and people are finding healing or just weeping and being emotional because life is hard.
I've never done that.
Yes, no.
Or me just either. Sharing, me either 3 days ago.
Sharing the pain of life, you know, together. Like, what if we had that? So I love that, Suzanne. I wish that would happen more.
I agree. I wish it would happen more. But I will say that I think people are more inclined to that.
I see people doing it. Yeah. I really do. Yeah. And I just wish more of us would take the risk to make that happen. And maybe that's something that, you know, a person who's listening to this, if they've never said to someone on a Sunday morning, can I pray for you for that? Maybe they take that really practical next step next week, you know?
Yeah. I think a few things, and there's some overlap with what you've said, Suzanne. I think one is, I think we make prayer unintimidating because I feel
like a
lot of people think, oh, I have to have this figured out and know what to say and know what to do. And
be poetic.
I have to be poetic and polite and all these things.
Quote scripture.
And like, I think if you read through Psalms, I can't remember who it was. It was either Spurgeon or one of those, you know, English people. No, he was saying that in the Psalms, we have every emotion of the human heart poured out immediately to God. So it's like I like the Psalms because I feel like when I read the Psalms, I get permission to pray in a way that I might not on my own. So I think that if we can present prayer as you know, presenting it as normal, doesn't mean that it's mundane necessarily, but it also means like, hey, you don't have to use, you know, biblish, like weird, half English, half Bible language and King James English or whatever to pray. No, this is you crying out to God, in a need. And so many people, I think, again, they feel like they have to have their thoughts collected. They have to have things together and perfect and polished. But oftentimes it's like, no, just cry out, say what's on your mind, say what's on your heart. And God hears those things. Mm-hmm. So I think we need to make it, less mystified, I guess, make it more normal in that way. But then also I love what you said about teaching people to pray. I think again, it's not as complicated as we often make it, but I do think modeling that in front of people, churches need to model that in front of people. Like, hey, here's what prayer looks like here. You know, Jesus presents us with the Lord's Prayer. He didn't come up with that. We talked about the Lord's Prayer yesterday, Suzanne. He didn't he didn't come up with that just as on a whim, like, I guess you could do this. It's like, no, this was for us very much on purpose as a model of how to pray and what to pray. So I think giving those kind of things is really important. I'm actually excited. Yesterday, Suzanne and I talked about, me and Suzanne and Lori, the prayer lead for Imprint Bothell, talked about a prayer night we have coming up.
Nice.
And we're going to try to make it very formative in prayer and that kind of thing. So you should come to that anyway.
You guys have a date for that?
We do. It's September 25th of 2024. So if you listen to this after that, sorry.
You missed it.
You missed it.
Oh, wow. No.
But no, we're excited. We're excited for that. I think trying to model prayer is something that anyone can do and you don't need special language for. And then also modeling how to do it is super important.
So I'd like to say something specific about that. I know there's suggestions afterwards we're going to touch on, but I want to mention it here that when I'm talking with the prayer team, I always encourage them that when they're listening to what somebody is asking for prayer for, that they pray for what the person asked for. Mm. Because it's a mistake that's easy to make to start praying for the thing that you think they need or the way it impacts you or even to say, oh, Lord, it makes me so mad to hear what this person's going through. And that's not really helping that person. But if they've asked for A, B, C, then pray for A, B, C, because it builds faith for that person to believe they've been heard because another person has lifted up those needs. And that's very encouraging. Yeah, and of course, if someone asks, you know, would you pray that I win the lottery, which I've had that happen before.
That's funny.
I just said, you know.
You're telling my secrets.
I don't. It wasn't you. I said, I don't have the faith to pray for that.
Yeah.
But you know what? If I did, I would. If I felt like, oh, I could say that. I could say it in this way. I'll get close. Yeah. But in that case, I didn't.
It's interesting. That is super practical because that's called active listening, right? Mm-hmm. So you're actively listening to someone. And what active listening is usually repeat back to someone what they've said to you to see if you're understanding it correctly. And so, you know, Susan, I'm hearing you say to pray for what a person asks for, A, B, and C. You know, like that's a piece. So I would pray for A, B, and C if this is
exactly
the case. I mean, how practical is that? Because I think sometimes we think we have to come up with some spiritual lesson or like...
Or preach at people while we're praying.
We got a sermon, you know, instead of just being empathetic and taking a moment and just saying, Lord, this person is suffering. This person is in pain. This person is emotionally hurting right now or whatever it is. Like, I love that. That's really helpful.
Yeah. And you're not, you don't have to tell God what to do about it.
Yeah.
So you don't have to have a lot of wisdom there.
Yeah.
But I've been in a position where someone prayed for the things I've asked for. Mm. And I can't tell you how uplifting it is. It's almost like they're literally taking this burden from my heart and holding it up to Jesus. Mm. I feel lighter. Mm. Mm-hmm. If they just mention to the Lord, oh, here's what Suzanne has for. Mm-hmm. It's so comforting.
That's cool. What a cool way to pray.
So that's how churches can kind of encourage people to lean into this. I don't know if you guys have any last thoughts, but I want to ask, and this is kind of the fun part, where have you seen health, this sign of health in our community? Where have you seen prayerful dependence on display in the community of Imprint Church?
Well, we've been mentioning some of those already.
Yeah, totally. But let's highlight them very on purpose here.
Well, we make prayer available. Mm-hmm. So we have... we pray at our gatherings. We have someone praying at the front. We have people standing at the back during the second worship set available to pray. We also have two prayer meetings a week. Mm-hmm. One of them is both on Zoom and in person, and the other one is just on Zoom. And by the way, those started with COVID.
With COVID.
And they never faded out. Mm-hmm. The prayer team, you know, people have their prayer meetings, and that's what we do together. Mm-hmm. It's really cool. We have events where prayer is the focus.
Yeah, like the Day of Prayer.
The Day of Prayer is the main one, and that's 8 hours of prayer, which is, it's not just like we're sitting there for 8 hours. There's structure and there's a plan. So each hour has a different theme.
Yep.
And the idea is to not only lift up many, many burdens on one day, but also to encourage people with insight into how to pray about these things.
Yeah.
And scriptures that show what God's heart is for these things, because that's encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
If you are thinking inside of yourself, I'm really burdened by this problem, but I just feel like even if I pray, God's not going to listen because I don't know what I'm doing, or I can't tell if he wants to do that. Mm-hmm. You can find a scripture that shows you his heart.
Mm-hmm.
And you have confidence and relief. So anyway, we have events that are designed not just to pray, but also to train people in prayer.
And just to give a little shout out to the day of prayer, it sounds intimidating, 8 hours of prayer, but it's wonderful. You guys do a really great job of planning out activities and things like that to happen. Like last year, I went to 2 of the hours. One of them, we spent most of the time reading just names of God and prayerfully going through those. That was a really meaningful moment. You're just listening to scripture and you're listening to different people read it and then praying and interspersed in that. And it's only like 40-minute sections or whatever it is, 50-minute sections, and we have a little break, you know. And I appreciated that because it wasn't like I was... Because I felt... when you hear the idea of a day of prayer and 8 hours of prayer, I think you feel a burden. You're like, oh, like, no.
There's that. It's like, oh, man, I wish I was a good enough Christian to do that. What comes up sometimes.
And instead, the 2 hours that I was there went by real quick. And it was wonderful to be there and just pray. So your team does a really good job with that. So I would encourage you, if you're listening to this and you've never been to a day of prayer, set aside one of the hours at the very least just to come be there.
It's an open house.
It's an open house,
In fact, you don't have to be on time. You can walk in,
you can just show up,
spend 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You can sob your eyes out in the back and then leave.
And then leave,
That's a truth. That happens.
Yeah. It does happen. Yes. And that's been me, although I didn't leave.
That's true. You stuck around.
I had to stay.
I appreciate that. Where else have we seen prayer on display in our community, prayer for dependence? I have one that's sort of behind the scenes. And Darren, if you want me to cut this out later, I will.
Yeah.
I remember once there was something... that I don't remember specifically what it was. There was some issue that I think the lead team had asked the elders to consider during your elders retreat, or like a big elder meeting you guys were having, something like that. And you and Tom made note of it. And then a week later, after the retreat, we got back. So like, so what'd you guys decide about that? And you're like, well, we didn't really get to it because we spent pretty much the whole time praying because we felt called to do that.
Mm.
And again, that's not to like puff up, look how great these guys are. But in a certain way, it's like, look how great this is. Like that what our agenda wasn't really the most important thing. The most important thing was, hey, let's listen to the Lord here. Let's intercede on the behalf of specific people in our church and our church in general. So I was really moved by that.
I appreciate how we haven't done this all the time because a lot of times we just have to get through stuff, you know, because it's the nature of the job. But I think I've appreciated how in our patterns that we've had as an elder team is that we'll talk about it as subject. And before we cross that subject off the list, we'll stop at the end. And a lot of times we'll pray for that subject right then. And we'll spend a couple of minutes praying for that. A couple of our guys will pray for that. And then we feel like we can move on. And it's almost like, I don't feel like we can move on without talking to the Lord about this.
Yeah,
because we've talked a lot here together, and we might come up with our best, you know, as we can, human plan.
Mm-hmm.
And trust me, there's some really smart guys on our elder team. These are really brilliant men that I work with. And yet we pause and say, let's pray about that and stop before we move on. And that's been really helpful through the years. I've even used it in my own life. Like, it's funny. I send emails out. I do this personally and I really mean it. I'm praying for you right now as I send this, and I push send. Mm-hmm. And when I push send, I pray for the things that I said in the email. And I bet you people who listen to this are be like, I've seen Darren do that before because I have. Mm-hmm. And I literally pray for you right there. I've learned it in our elder meetings and I've been doing it. So yeah,
that's super cool.
Yeah.
By the way, we weren't frustrated when you guys said you had
praying.
I remember that as
I didn't
well.
Feel that way.
Yeah.
No.
I would say that you also model that in the leads huddles.
Yeah.
So we meet once a week as a group just to cover the practical aspects of ministry, but we're also sharing personal updates. And pretty much if someone has something hard going on, we either stop right then or soon after to pray for that. Yeah, that pattern's there. I would say that that's a way. Prayer is one of the ways that Imprint Leadership models caring for our lead team and for the people in leadership, which is really valuable because leadership is where people can get hurt. So I think that's really encouraging.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
I've seen it happen in the life of our prayer team. So let me just pause for a second. Just be grateful for this group of people that are part of the prayer team that comes. How many people are on your team now, Suzanne? Probably
just at Woodinville, I have 15.
I was going to say there must be 20 of them or so. Okay,
yeah.
That's great. I am so grateful because I know I get there on Sunday mornings, there's people praying in the back, but I know that's not the only time they've been praying. Like I show up on Sunday morning, or actually let's say this, I get to church pretty early on Tuesdays and Wednesdays because I spend my time reading the Bible and praying there myself. And when I walk in, there's a gal named Heesung who's always there and she's praying.
Yeah.
She's probably having personal time too, but I guarantee she's praying for our church.
She's such an intercessor. And that's just like, intercessor.
I find that so compelling because I feel like I can't do it alone, or I forget to pray, or I don't pray enough, or whatever it is. And then the beautiful thing is I'm like, yeah, but I have a team of people that are lifting this up as well. And the burden doesn't rest upon me alone to do it. So there's something really, there's like camaraderie around a prayer team where I know that there's people praying for the needs, the requests, the Slack channel where prayer requests come in that is bound to confidentiality within that prayer team. Yeah. And so when people turn in a prayer request on Sunday mornings or just through someone on the prayer team, those things really get prayed for. And I find that to be a really cool sign of health in our community, that it's not just our leaders, even though we just talked about our leaders doing it. There's a whole group of people that are, that you've trained and you've raised up to do. And I'm man, I can't even tell you how encouraging that is to me.
Thank you.
It's great.
You know, it's funny because one of the things that I teach the prayer team is, I tell them right off the bat, I don't make prayer lists. I mean, obviously I have notes all over the place, right? So if I need to know what to pray for, but what I don't want is for it to become a performance thing where someone's going through the list and they have to do this. So I just encourage people, when you get the request, pray as you're reading it and then ask the Lord to bring it to mind. And I just find that that makes people way more prayerful and,
And so cool.
The Lord is always faithful to bring things to mind.
Totally. I have that bad habit. I try to do as much as possible the what you've talked about, like, let me pray for you right now. I have the bad habit of thinking I'll pray for this person, or saying I'll pray for you, and then putting it down somewhere and then finding it on my phone
5 years later,
like, or a couple weeks later. I'm like, oh shoot. So I think that's
a,
that's
so read
a great
with
advice.
An attitude of prayer and let that be prayer.
Yes.
Because literally the more you're praying, let me put it this way. If it becomes, I have, and again, this is just my encouragement. It's not meant to say, don't do this, because some people really benefit from this. But if I'm taking time to write it down and then I'm bringing it up during my quiet time and I want to bring it up later, and I'm limiting what I can pray for. I can only do so many that way. So I would rather have more and more room to pray for whatever.
Yeah, no, that's so true. Well, hey, we're getting towards the end of our time here. I do want to take just a moment and ask both of you guys, what are some suggestions for living out prayer as a sign of, you know, obviously we say it's a sign of church health, but the sign as a sign of a healthy Christian? What are some ways, some suggestions on living this out individually?
Well, I have five points. One, ask the Lord to teach you about prayer. Two, reject thoughts.
That's the disciples did, by the way, for Jesus.
They did. So teach us to pray.
Yeah, teach us to pray.
Matthew 6.
Reject thoughts that make you doubt the need for prayer, or neglect trying to put your need into words. Vague prayers are rarely seen as answered. If you think about it, you're never quite sure.
Yeah.
And they do less to strengthen our hope and our faith. So if there's thoughts hindering you from being specific, push those aside and make specific prayers and see what happens. Three, ask the Lord to wash away any self-condemnation or insecurity that you have in his presence, because Jesus came to give us righteousness and to give us free access to the presence of God. So even if in this very moment I'm feeling condemned because I have something that I don't want to submit to, you know, I can still come to him in the righteousness of Christ and say, I need help. I'm here to pray.
I blew it 10 minutes ago, but I still need you, Lord.
Or even right now, I know you want me to go and repent and apologize to somebody, and I don't want to, know, so that's sin, and I admit that's sin, but I need you right now. Our access is never dependent on how clean our hands are at the very moment.
That's the book of Hebrews, so totally.
So that was the third one. The fourth one is to ask others for prayer. I mentioned that before, because that's one of the ways we begin to understand prayer.
That is so true, and I feel like there's this... often this this underlying thing. I don't know if it's it might be a men thing. I don't know, because I will often ask men for prayer, ask people for prayer, and they say, oh no, I'm all right. And a lot of times that sounds good, but a lot of times they assume I'm not in need of grace, or I'm not in need of underneath it is I'm not in need of grace, or I'm not in need of charity. Here, I can figure this out. I got it on my own. So that's
or
so true.
Just like not in the habit.
But I mean, just in general, like I think if we think about it, we need prayer for dependence. We need prayer for provision, because any illusion that we provide for ourselves, any illusion that we can take care of ourselves is not true. You know, everything, every breath we take is the will of God, and it's a gift from God. So I think praying, like you said, being willing to ask and taking a second to stop and put down the I'm okay and say, you know, asking for prayer for whatever's going on is such an important discipline.
So even if someone hearing this says, I don't know what to say, when someone says, how can I pray for you? I don't know. Then you can say, I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
Ask the Lord, you know, to tell me what to ask, or, you know, even that is a form of prayer request.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do this.
Yeah.
Or later on they might think, oh, I wish I had said, please pray for my daughter who's blah, blah, blah. But see, the beauty of the Lord is that he knows that. And even
himself.
That interaction, it's like giving them. So I'm going to tell you a funny story. Okay. There was one time a number of years ago when Jack had some situation going on. This is when he could still see and he could drive. And in those days, he really had this conviction that if he prayed, God was not going to listen. He just did not have the faith to pray. He had faith in God, but it wasn't like the two of them had this connection, you know. But something was going on that was very concerning, and he thought, I should call Suzanne and ask her to pray. But it was really early, and I had been up a lot during the night with one of the kids, and he thought, I don't want to bother her. So then this is what he prayed. He said, Lord, would you just do whatever Suzanne would have prayed?
That's awesome.
Oh, that's awesome.
Isn't that funny? And I said, no, what amazes me is that you had the faith to say that. You know, that's just weird. But anyway, the Lord knows.
That's fun.
Yeah. So my fifth one is to be bold and pray for others whenever the Lord prompts you.
Yeah, that's good. I had someone give me some advice at one point. Like, if someone randomly, quote unquote, pops into your mind, don't just like, oh, that's a nice person, I remember them, but say a quick prayer for them. The Lord's probably bringing them to mind for a reason. So pray boldly when you feel the prompting to do so. So, and see things as a prompting for prayer as well.
Yeah. And you don't even have to know what to say. You can just like offer that person.
The Spirit himself intercedes for us. For we don't know how to pray as we ought.
Amen.
You know?
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Like I can't add anything to Suzanne's because they're so good. I think I'll just clarify a couple things that came across my mind while she was talking. If I was to apply what you were to say to my life, I think what I would do is to be a person of prayerful dependence is I'd try to be specific about my own needs with someone else in the new future. And so I think for a lot of us, we go to prayer request meetings or whatever, and we're like, will you pray for my daughter or my son or my mom or my dad or my friend or anything like that?
Yeah.
And it takes prayer away from you. It's important. Those things are important. I'm not discounting those things at all. And there could be real needs in your son or daughter or mother or father's life. But there's something where if we want to grow in prayerful dependence, which I think is the question we're talking about here, there's something about actually admitting need to another person. This is something specific I need help with right now.
Yeah.
I am dealing with anger. I am with this person because of this. I just need prayer, you know, and that becomes a real prayerful dependent thing, I think. And so if I was to take your advice, you know, like I want to put those things into words. I want to actually bring those in. I think another thing I would do is I this is like the gospel gratitude generosity in point four is journal.
Gurnal.
I think I mean this morning even I was writing my prayers down. My prayers were from my son who started his first last day of school today as a senior year of Bothell High School, you know. So I woke up early this morning, he had senior sunrise day. We're up at the crack of dawn taking a picture of him. And I go into church and I write in my journal prayers for him for this year, specific prayers for this year. And those are, I'm going to remember those forever. Maybe I won't read my journal at some point, but it took me, I paused, I slowed down, I wrote them down, recognizing that I have to trust him to the Lord for this season of his life. He's an adult in a month here, you know? So it's like a couple months here. So it's like, he's got to start making those choices. So I was acting in prayerful dependence, just writing those things down in a journal. I would encourage people. And find a prayer journal.
You were like the journal evangelist, man. Are you sponsored by Moleskine?
Yeah,
like,
you think I would be.
Yeah.
I use my iPad these days, know. You know? So yeah, I like it. But I just, maybe it's a personal thing, but I find it so beneficial
for my own life. It makes you think about your language and what you're saying.
Spiritual life, yes.
I think it's worth mentioning that you don't have to record the quote-unquote answers.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because the fact is, if you go back later and you read prayer requests, you're like, astounded.
Oh gosh, that happened.
It makes sense.
Yeah. So those are the only two things I'd say in response to that. Yeah.
I think I'd add one more thing, and it's similar to what we said when we were talking about Bible. And it's that make time for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think there's, we say we don't have time to pray because we don't make the time to do it generally. Mm-hmm. And I think that showing up, that's going to be like my thing. Just show up. Because I said that a couple weeks ago. But I think showing up is so important. And even just sitting there and praying, God, I don't know what I'm supposed to pray today. Mm-hmm. Or God, I don't feel like praying today. Mm-hmm. Will you help me? Like that? I think that's so important. The consistency of doing that. God will meet you there. God will answer prayers that you don't know that you need. But show up and pray consistently is what I would say. I think, you know, eventually you can get to the point of Suzanne, what I love about you, and you always encourage people just to say quick prayers throughout the day and keep going, keep a conversation going. It doesn't have to be this huge holy moment, but I do think that having focused times of prayer leads to that later. So I'd encourage people listening to this, be intentional and schedule some time to pray, to get away, whatever that looks like. So early morning, late at night, a quiet time where you won't be distracted.
Yeah. Maybe even find a prayer partner.
Yes. Yeah.
Someone you can text, someone you can connect with and pray over.
And maybe that's my number two, is pray with people. Mm-hmm. You know, pray with people. If there's someone around you and you hear them pray, or you see them as a person dependent on prayer, ask to pray with them. Ask if they can teach you to pray, and I'm sure they'll say yes. So they'll probably just point you to what Jesus said, which is great. So, all right. Anything else y'all want to add before we close this one down? Suzanne gave a smile like, yes, she wants to ask a question that's going to send us in a random direction. Anyway.
I am smiling because I think there's a really obvious way we should finish up.
Oh, yes, there is.
Are you going to pray for us, Suzanne?
Should it be me?
Yes. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Father in heaven, I thank you. I praise you that prayer is something you created for us. We can talk to you. We can listen to you. We can grow in knowing you. We can find the burdens of our hearts relieved. And we can minister to others and share their burdens, Lord, and care for one another through prayer. I ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would minister to our hearts now and continue to teach us to pray and help us to recognize your promptings and trust you that you're listening and to grow in prayer. And I pray that for anyone who's listening to this right now, Lord, that their hearts would be comforted and encouraged by the work you're doing in relieving burdens of the heart and in teaching them to pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I felt the ground shake, Suzanne. Thank you.
Oh, wow.
All right, Imprint. Well, we will talk to you soon. Reach out if you have any questions or comments. podcast@imprintchurch.org. Thanks for listening. For more information and resources from Imprint Church, you can download our app or head to imprintchurch.org. I know enough about technology to not trust technology.
That's right.
To do what it says it's going to do.
Exactly.
So it is false promises.
Technology.
I love technology. But not as much as you see.